When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Level three, let's do this thing. Sirius XM Channel 159, Sports Grid Radio and Television Network. Rick Saratella will join us in a couple of minutes. So we're just going over the college football numbers. I got some NFL win totals to share with you as well. I saw something crazy here. I don't know if you guys have the Anthony Rendon here, a best of X. So remember Anthony Rendon? Listen, he's a good baseball player. He was a good baseball player. He won a World Series and with the Nationals. He cashed in large with the Angels. But he's always hurt. If you recall, too, he basically, when people complain, he goes, "I don't even like baseball. It's just a job, right?" And how about this, though? At the conclusion, once this year ends, the Angels would have paid. He's taken he's made $168 million from the Angels. He hasn't even played 250 games. He'll have played fewer than 250 games. That's what is that? It's nearly like $600,000 a game, $700,000 a game. It's absolutely insane. Like, Anthony Rendon's contract with the Angels, one of the worst contracts, like, from the team perspective in sports history, actually. That's the thing with the Angels. Like, their heart was in the right place, right? They can't win, but they have Mike Trout. He's always hurt, right? They had Ohtani. Ohtani, you know, isn't dumb, and he got out of there. But they tried. They gave Rendon a ton of money. They spent the money in the wrong places all the time. And it's just imploded on them. And now it's just like a big-time disaster. They do have a bunch of good young prospects and stuff. But that Ward dude's a jerk, though. Huh? They nearly get no hit. He's like, "Oh, that guy's stuff wasn't special." It's like, dude, you guys got one effing hit off him, right? So, like, obviously it was special. And you guys suck. So I hate that when baseball players won't tip their cap to the other. It seems to be a modern thing. Now, like, baseball players hate to, like, say, "Oh, yeah, the other pitcher was good." You know, he clearly was. He nearly no-hit you guys. So, yeah, he was clearly pretty good. So, speaking of baseball, the Dodgers were down 3-2 to the Baltimore Orioles, despite laying that big chalk. You know, I thought the Dodgers would win, but as I said before the game, I didn't think, you know, I thought minus 200 was a little bit ridiculous to lay this price. End of 7 right now, so we're going to the top of the 8th inning. The Dodgers are currently plus 215. Baltimore are minus 280. The Mets are still winning 8-3 right now. So they're drilling the Arizona Diamondbacks, and the Rays are up 3-2 on the Mariners, although the Mariners are pretty much done right now. So does it really even matter? But for those of you betting, it is 3-2 in the top of the 9th inning. So speaking of a lot of stuff I want to get to here, and NFL win totals. I know we got college football coming up, but the NFL is rapid. It's creeping up on us. We're not on Friday. We're not on Monday. Next thing you know, the season's going to be starting. And, you know, we just had Bill Krakenberger on. He was talking about betting the Patriots under win total. How can you disagree? It's going to be a long season, a rebuilding season for the New England Patriots. But the Carolina Panthers right now, under 5.5 wins is plus 100. Like, seriously, I'm getting plus money right now with a football team with a football team that won two games last year? Are they really going to triple their output and get to six? I don't believe so. And I can't believe we're getting plus money with this right now at plus 100. You look at the Panthers' schedule. It's not easy. But the easiest game they play is when they open up the season against the Saints, right? So they get the Saints, then they get the Chargers and Herbert. They got to go to the Raiders. And Max Crosby's a freak. Versus the Bengals, the Bears, the Falcons, the Commanders. Hell, the Commanders have a rookie quarterback, but are still better than you. You know, the Broncos and Saints again, Giants. Okay, I'll give them that. They sort of have a little run here with Washington, Denver, New Orleans, and the Giants. Out of those four games, they could, you know, squeeze out a couple of wins. I'll give them that. But then you look at the back end of this thing, and it's murderer's row once again. I think the Panthers are going to be a lot of trouble. And for the record, I think the Saints will beat the Panthers in week one. The Jacksonville Jaguars, guys, you sort of, man, like, the numbers change so much. We were talking about, like, in Seattle the other night, and Seattle were over 7.5, minus 145. Well, now it's minus 160. Right, everyone starts. We start talking about it, and people start betting it, and it, you know, you always have to sort of find a new team that's sort of flying under the radar a little bit. And I do think that team that's flying under the radar are the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, the Jags didn't have a great year last year, but it doesn't mean that they can't get back on track. And if you look at the talent that they have a very good defense, right? So the Jags are going to be good defensively. We know this. It's really up to Trevor Lawrence to take that next step. Not just like, you know, a Super Bowl step, but, you know, just play consistent winning football. But with the weapons that they have, I think he can, right? They bring in Gabriel Davis from the Bills. You got Christian Kirk. All right, Kirk has been injury prone, but he's good. Davis has big games and he disappears and he has a big game and he disappears, whatever. He's kind of inconsistent, but he's okay. You got Evan Engram, who is pretty good. And you bring in Brian Thomas, the kid from LSU. This kid is a freak, all right? You know, the long line of great LSU wide receivers. So expect Thomas to be really good. And, you know, they got Etienne in the backfield. So I think the Jags offense is going to be better this year. I think they're going to compete for the division with the Houston Texans. I think the Colts are going to take, you know, I think the Colts, people are too high on the Colts. And I think the Titans aren't going to be very good. So I think the Jags are right in the mix in this division, but we don't need to win a division. Their win total is 8.5. You get a nice plus robust plus 270 with the Jags to win a division, though. Houston are the trendy team, right, this year, the team of the year, the team of the week, the trend of the week. Houston this, Texans that, but the Jaguars and the Texans, there's not that much of a gap between them, right? The Jags just need to get back on track, stay healthy. But I think the Jaguars are a very, very dangerous team. Not to, you know, get out of the AFC, but in the division. And their win total is 8.5. Very manageable number. They can get to 9. Right, the Jags, the Jaguars can get to 9. They have a pretty favorable schedule. The New Orleans Saints win total is 7.5. They get two games against the Panthers, but even that, I could see the Panthers splitting with them. I don't think the Saints are going to get to 8. Right, so I'm betting the Saints under the 7.5. I don't think the Saints are going to get to 8, but I do like that prop that we've been talking a lot about, the top two teams in the division, and you're getting plus money with this as well, with the Atlanta Falcons and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to be the top two teams in the division in any particular order. That's what I like about this bet as well. You don't have to worry about first place, second place. You're getting plus 110. We know Carolina, whatever. Carolina might get better. They're rebuilding, all right? The New Orleans Saints are going to tear this thing down. The Saints are in contract hell. We all know Derek Carr, who he is. And, you know, the Saints are just a football team that are sort of in purgatory right now, and it'd be better for them to actually suck. So I don't think the Saints have some sort of surprise year coming up in them. And Tampa Bay are good. Right, people dismiss Tampa Bay, but Tampa Bay are pretty consistent. They have a tough schedule, but they're better than the Saints are. They're better than the Panthers are. And the Falcons, I think, will be the best team in this division. Right? It's just, you know, the Falcons have to go out and do it right now. But Kirk Cousins, Michael Penix, they have a nice quarterback situation. If, You don't want Cousins to go down, but it's not the end of the world. I think Penix, you know, is a hell of a lot better than Desmond Ridder was, right? And look, the Falcons were a competitive team last year, and they had horrible quarterback play. Very similar to the Chicago Bears, who everybody spent a lot of time talking about. I'm buying into the Bears, actually. Right? The Bears play in a tough division, but they won 7 games last year. Justin Fields was terrible. Tyson Bagent was bad and just sort of mediocre. The Bears have a top 7 defense. They're loaded on offense right now. And yeah, they play in a tough division, but they're going to be good. Caleb Williams is going to, like, he's going to light it up. He's going to win a Rookie of the Year, too.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Twisted Tuesday continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Moretz. The Pistol Players, the Hustlers, the people, the Bustlers, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. Week 0 is now behind us. We've got some massive games rapidly approaching. And one of the most bet games at the sports books, actually, is the Colorado Buffaloes. I don't know what it is, man. Like, honestly, like, we're talking about a 4-win team. I get it. Deion Sanders was a star in the National Football League, but the level of attention, that it's one thing to say all the media talks about Colorado a lot, which we do, but people watch them a lot, right? People bet on them a lot. Like, they're literally one of the most bet on teams to win the national championship this year. And the Colorado North Dakota State game is the most bet game of the week, more than Notre Dame and Texas A&M, more than Georgia and Clemson. A North Dakota State game is the most bet game of the week right now in Las Vegas. Rick Saratella steps up and in. And Rick is a scout with the Edmonton Elks, founder of the NFL Draft Bible. So Rick pounds the pavement and knows all about Division II, Division III, FCS players, and everybody else in between. And North Dakota State, as we know, Rick, they're no joke, bro. They're 9-3, dude. Their last 12 games against FBS teams. Like, they don't show up to cover. They show up to win, these guys. And they're getting 9.5 points. And the public, Rick, is running to the window to bet on Deion and the Colorado Buffaloes. And Deion seems like he's more preoccupied with fighting a battle with the Denver Post right now than worrying about North Dakota State. And this game is rapidly approaching, less than 48 hours away. How you doing, Rick? What do you think about this big game?
Hey, buckle up, Gabriel Morenci. The Bison are in town, man. Circle the wagons. We got the Bison, the Buffalo. I'm here to tell you, this is the matchup I have circled on my calendar for the week one college football docket. I mean, who's not excited about this? You got Colorado. You know, they kind of captivated the nation's attention last year with that 3-0 start. They were in the top 25, rocking and rolling. Shador Sanders was revving the engine and looked like he was making a dash to the NFL draft. Well, then they got a taste of reality. And I'm here to tell you that reality could be served up here in week one, because you've got a Bison team that has gelled and played together, and these small school guys have continuity. There's a lot of seniors. There's a lot of coaching carryover, whereas Colorado, they've got the prime. They got the glitz. They got the glamour. They got the transfer portal, 60 transfers coming in. It takes time. You don't just put some duct tape around it and trot out on the field. You know, everything's rocking and rolling on cylinders. So I think this is going to be a close matchup, a high-scoring affair. I think the offensive line is what everybody's been talking about with those Colorado Buffaloes. And watch out. The Bison might surprise and be on the upset alert here.
Rick Saratella kicking it with us. Man, what a great week of football that we have coming up. But the NFL is rapidly approaching. We're now 9 days away from the start of the NFL season. But one big game and heavyweight matchup after another this weekend on the college gridiron. So what's your prediction here, Rick? My bet is, listen, I'm taking North Dakota State plus the 9.5. I don't know if they're going to win the game. I think they can win the game. And I know New Mexico, whatever. The Lobos aren't on the same, you know what I mean, whatever. But Montana State are a big-time team, right, in the FCS. They got all that they can handle from New Mexico, who are the big underdogs. Now I think it's sort of vice versa. Like I said, North Dakota State, I think, are in this game. Colorado should survive, Rick. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if North Dakota State won this game outright, to be honest with you. But I'm taking a 9.5. What's your pick?
You know, you could keep the stinking points. I'm going to go with North Dakota State here. I think, you know, they're going to go up early. Hey, they're going to get out to a lead here. Yeah, they're going to get out to a lead here, and I think just kind of kill the clock and squeeze the Colorado Buffaloes dry. I think the Buffaloes are going to get off to a shaky start here. Like I said, a lot of moving parts, a lot of pieces coming in. Deion Sanders, where is his focus, man? These press conferences are odd. It's an unorthodox approach. Say what you want. I mean, they are bizarre. And to take that much time to worry about and read what everybody else is saying and thinking about you, I mean, you're giving up the control of your mind to other people, to the media members. Like, focus on you and handle your business. And I'll tell you what, the trains could come off the track real quick on this Colorado season if they get off to an 0-1 start. Look out.
You know, they play next week. They're in Lincoln, Nebraska, against the Nebraska Cornhuskers and Dominic Raiola and company. And that's a program that looks like they're about to turn the corner, Rick. Raiola's the real deal, this kid.
That's right. And Matt Rhule has gotten a lot of praise around the scouting community for what he's done there in a short period of time. I think Nebraska takes a big jump. Colorado, they better take care of business here in week one, because I'll tell you what, 0-2, 0-3, Colorado. Hey, Deion Sanders, you could see him leave the team with Shedeur Sanders. Never mind Shedeur Sanders opting out. Deion Sanders, the kitchen might get too hot for him in Colorado. He might opt out right before the season's ended.
People thought I was crazy. I've thrown it out there that are they a package deal potentially in the National Football League? Yeah, you know, it doesn't work everywhere, but I'm with you. As if, look, he's already at war right now, bro. It's been 1 year. The honeymoon is over. And I think it was Casey Stengel. It was one of the old legends, but I think it was Casey Stengel who had a saying, Rick. You know, he got into it with the media, and he basically said, he goes, "Nah, don't get into it with the media. They never run out of ink." And that's the thing. Like, if you're Deion, they were nice to you and you were 4-8. Like, the knives are going to start to come out if you want to start a war with everybody. And you see the national media has, you know, they're starting to turn on Deion right now. The pressure is on. And I got to wonder, too, you know, their win total, Rick, is 5.5, all right? They have a pretty tough schedule. I think they could win 6 games. They could also win 4 games. And my feel, Rick, judging by the sense of their character, I wonder if Sanders even plays the whole year. If things implode, does Deion roll him out late in the season? Or does he say, no. We're going to the National Football League. He's going to the National Football League. We're coming up against it here, Rick, with the break. But I want to ask you on the other side, because me personally, I think a lot of the media stuff is overblown at times when they call. Like, people said, oh, Micah Parsons is going to be a character concern. Remember you and I said, that's ridiculous. You know what I mean? But if I'm an NFL team, I got my concerns about drafting Shedeur Sanders. I'm just being real. More Rick on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Twisted Tuesday continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. Great to have college football back. And next week we have the National Football League. Can't wait to get Rick's take on that Packer-Eagle game, because I've got an opinion on it right now. But Rick, I talked about the three most bet games right now at the sports books, and Colorado was number one. Colorado North Dakota State was the most bet game so far this week. Number two was Georgia Clemson. Number three was Texas A&M and Notre Dame. Let's talk about Texas A&M and Notre Dame. We'll get to the Clemson Georgia game in a couple of moments, but this is a big time football game. I mean, we know about Texas A&M. They loaded up with the NIL stuff, got a bunch of blue-chip players, but Fisher couldn't put it together. But now you bring in Coach Mike Elko, who really, you know, this guy did a great job at Duke and didn't have anywhere near the type of players. So now you got this great coach with like, it's like a chef that didn't have ingredients. Now you got a chef with ingredients here. And you got Freeman, who I know people like, and he's done a great job recruiting. But can he? Can they back it up and go out there and win some games? And in a little twist of fate, Rick, Riley Leonard, Elko's quarterback at Duke, is now the quarterback at Notre Dame. And Connor Wegman is the quarterback at Texas A&M. And even though people don't talk about him like Carson Beck and Shador Sanders and these guys, if you look at the odds, Rick, and the sports books as far as the draft, Connor Wegman's, like, he's right there, bro. He's like fourth or fifth to be the number one pick in the draft. I don't agree with that, but the fact is the sports books aren't stupid, and they have him up right now.
Well, I think Vegas is onto something there, Gabe. I think Connor Wegman has all the tools in the toolbox when you take a look at the dual capability, extend plays, make all the throws, ball velocity, fluid release. I love everything this kid brings to the table. He just has to show that he can stay durable, get through the whole season, right, and have an injury-free year. Now, you talk about Riley Leonard. He's coming off an injury, right, because he was talked about as a potential first-round quarterback at Duke when he was there. Now he comes over to Notre Dame, reset, reload, hopefully refreshed. If he can stay healthy, you have a possible showdown of two potential first-round quarterbacks, Notre Dame coming off the winning season. Texas A&M has been traditionally, in recent seasons under Jimbo Fisher, underachievers. So I was a little bit surprised. The Aggies are the favorites here, but you know what? Nobody knows Riley Leonard better than the man you just mentioned, Mike Elko, who has gotten a lot of praise for the job he's done here. I think Texas A&M takes it. I think Connor Wegman begins his Heisman campaign, and I do believe he winds up in that first round come April.
Rick Saratella kicking it with his great points, Rick, as far as knowing Riley Leonard. And Leonard's not 100%. I know he's coming around right now, but he hasn't practiced that much as they would like with the new team. He's sort of just going to be thrown out there. You throw in that, the home field advantage for the Aggies, Elko knowing Leonard's tendencies inside out. I give the edge to the Aggies here. And for the record, Rick, here are the updated odds right now as we speak. Carson Beck is the favorite to be the top pick of the draft, plus 350. Shador Sanders, the second choice, at plus 550. James Pierce, who you and I have talked a lot about, the Tennessee Volunteer defensive tackle, plus 650. And then you got Connor Wegman, guys, plus 1,200. He's the fourth pick to be the number one pick of the draft right now.
Wow. That's impressive, you know.
Ahead of Cam Ward, ahead of Quinn Ewers. You know what I mean? Like, people aren't talking about this. You know what I mean? So, like I said, give me the Texas A&M Aggies in this football game. And listen, I think Notre Dame could lose this game, Rick, and still make the playoffs. They have a very manageable schedule, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I actually expect Notre Dame to be in the playoffs this year with a 10-2 record, Rick.
Yeah, and you know the College Football Committee is going to want that for the ratings. You know, 12 teams are getting in. Notre Dame is going to find a home some way, somewhere, somehow, right?
So. Yeah, there's 12 Notre Dames. They're one of the 12. Basically, if you're Notre Dame, win 10 games, you're going to get to the playoffs every year now. That's the new deal. But since you're not affiliated with a conference, you can never be ranked higher than sixth because you're going to have the conferences. And then you, right, sort of the at-large team. I guess they could be fifth as the at-large team, right? But they'll always be behind. So, in other words, they'll never host a game in this format the way that it is. All right, so on the other side, we'll talk about Carson Beck and the Georgia Bulldogs and the Clemson Tiger football game. These two teams played, guys, not that long ago. It was 2021, and they played in the season opener, if you recall, in Georgia won the football game 10-3. And at the time, people were sort of like, oh, my God, Clemson are terrible and stuff. Yeah, in hindsight, that was as close as anyone came to beating Georgia. Like Georgia murder teams that year. More Rick on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Twisted Tuesday continues. Countdown to kickoff is on. There's no turning back once Thursday night gets here. Although, I do take exception to people saying football is back because football has been rocking in the CFL, and we'll talk some CFL football with Rick Serratella, as Rick was in my hometown of Montreal. I haven't been to an Alouette game in Montreal in years. As I bring it up right now, actually, it's a fun stadium, isn't it, Rick? It has sort of that, I don't know what your vibe is, but it sort of has high school, college football vibe to it. But in the city, right, there's like a bunch of, like, you know what I mean? There's a bunch of, in Montreal, guys, like, you know, teenagers will go to the game. They can't name the players. It's a date night, right? Or, you know, a bunch of dudes just go and get blasted and stuff. And, you know what I mean? Bet on the game. It's a real sort of cross. But, Rick, you were there. They honored the 1974 Montreal Alouette football team. Marv Levy was the coach. Heisman Trophy winner Johnny Rogers out of Nebraska was the running back. Great tradition of football in Montreal, Rick. Good football city that time.
Yeah, great night if you were an Alouettes fan. but I will say the city definitely is an amazing city. The architecture is incredible. I think they've done a great job of kind of keeping the old style architecture while still embracing modern buildings and you know the skyline.
Did you make it out to Old Montreal at all?
The college like there's actually the campus.
Sorry, I was going to say, Rick, did you go to Old Montreal, though? There's actually the, where there's the cobblestone roads and all that type of stuff.
Oh, I'll tell you, you know, there's so much to see in that city, but, you know, when you're on the stadium and you've got the cross on the top of the mountain, just with the sun shining down on you and the old cathedrals in the background and McGill University, it's a college venue, but it holds 25,000 and they pack the joint. And I'll tell you what, man, these fans are incredible. They're really into it. I was up in the press box, the open booth press box, but I really got a true feeling for it when I went down on the field in the fourth quarter. As you know, it was a close game, and the ambiance and the atmosphere was as good as I've been around.
Yeah, it's a fun, like I said, it's a fun, when they're winning. If they're not winning, people will turn their back on them pretty quickly in Montreal. But the Alouettes, and in fact right now, the Alouettes are 18-1 in their last 19 football games, which is the best 20-game run, 19-game run, whatever, since 1961. All right, so it's been that, and it's funny because people don't really look at them as like a dominant team. Right, like last year, they were underdogs in a championship game, and they won. And people were like, "Oh, well, they're not that good coming into this year. It was kind of a fluke they won last year." And man, Cody Fajardo has just sort of, you know, found himself again. You know, in his career, it's a great run. Big game, and big games in the CFL this week too. Labor Day weekend. I always talk, Rick. The season doesn't start until Labor Day, and you know better than anyone in the West right now how crowded it is. Edmonton, your Edmonton Elks and the Calgary Stampeders. This is a big game. I don't want to put too much pressure on you guys, but realistically, you need to win this game. Like, you know, this is one of those. This is, it gets real right now. Division rival, province rival, head-to-head records, all this stuff with the playoffs, Rick. Massive game for the Elks this week.
That's a huge game. And quite honestly, they should feel the pressure. Everybody should feel the pressure. We got to win. And there's no excuses to be made. You got to go out there. You got to win ball games, home and home. So there's a great opportunity in the standings to kind of flip our where we sit. And we got to go get it. Go get after it. You know, the men know what to do. And I'll tell you what, man, the one thing I'm proud about this Elks club is that they fight. They fight to the end. We've been in every single ball game. And they know what they're capable of doing, but, I mean, we got to stop making excuses and just go execute.
Yeah. And you know what? You kind of are what your record says you are, but the Elks, they're better than a three-win team. Like you said, like the effort, the battle is there, but now it gets real. Like, they, you know, it gets real for everybody. Like, BC have lost five freaking games in a row suddenly right now. All right, Rick, so as far as Georgia and Clemson is concerned, like I said, they played a couple of years ago and it was 10-3. People are very down on Clemson as a whole, yet I think it's a little bit of tunnel vision. They've won 10 or more football games in 12 of the last 13 seasons. So, you know, have they won a national championship in the last couple of years? No, but they've also won 10 games every year. Last year, they did go 9-4. They closed strong. I think they're going to win the ACC, Rick, but this is a tough task for them to open up against the Bulldogs. Yet I think this game is a lot closer than a lot of people think, actually. I'm taking Clemson plus the 13.
No doubt about it. I think this is going to go down to the wire just like it was when they played last. That was, I mean, for a 10-3 matchup, that was about as exciting of a 10-3 low-scoring affair as I can recall.
You're right. It was intense. Like,
it was. And I'll tell you what, Dabo Swinney comes up big in big games. So I want to put it past Clemson to upset Georgia. I do have the Bulldogs winning this thing. I think Carson Beck is the kind of eraser, the equalizer, if you will say. But I think we're going to have a very interesting and, say, maybe the most exciting college football season, Gabe, because when you take a look at the traditional powerhouses, right? Alabama has a new head coach. Michigan has a new head coach. Dabo Swinney has really not embraced the transfer portal. And all the while, there's Kirby Smart, kind of the new king of the jungle, right?
Yeah,
and
new
I think
kingpin.
He's going to have a lot to say with kind of the college football landscape.
You know, one thing, Rick, though, about this Clemson Tiger defense, like defensively, we know they're studs. And they've got a ton of talent, once again, on the defensive side of the football. The SEC used to be defense. It isn't anymore, Rick. The SEC, that conference, you need to score 45 points to win games almost. Like, it's track meet. So where I'm going with this is, tell me, like, who's better. Like, you look at Georgia's schedule. I'll put it this way. Like, Clemson's defense is better than Alabama's defense. It's better than LSU's defense. Like, I can go down a list of teams. Ole Miss's defense is pretty good. Clemson's defense is better. So where I'm going with this is Carson Beck. This is going to be arguably the toughest defense that he faces this year, actually. So it'll be an interesting test for him, Rick. Is he really all this? Is he the number one pick in the draft? Let's see, because this is like, would you agree? You're not going to face a better defense than the Clemson Tigers. Like, the SEC doesn't have a better defense than them.
I would agree, and I would say, hey, you go into the season as the chalk favorite. Now you come out of the gates and you take the lead, right? You do what you're supposed to do, yeah, which is beat Clemson, have a dominant performance, take stake atop the Heisman race that we just talked about, could be any one of these quarterbacks that we're mentioning. But most importantly, keep on top of that NFL draft number one status. That's where the money is to be made, and that's where Carson Beck sits right now. And I don't know anybody around the National Football League that, if the draft were held tomorrow, I don't know anyone who would not take Carson Beck if they needed a quarterback.
Rick Saratella in the house with us for a couple of more minutes. Rick, man, I can't imagine how many scouts are going to be watching and are going to be in attendance at the USC and LSU game. I'll be one of them, except I'm not on the clock. I won't be scouting the game. I'll be betting the game and enjoying myself. And I'm betting on USC. I'm taking the USC Trojans in this football game. I think, you know what I mean, there's a lot of negativity because of this and that, and people want to go after Lincoln Riley. Okay, talk to me about Brian Kelly. All right, you know, what's up? Look at this LSU team, too. Not to mention, bro, you lost some pretty good players. Malik Nabers, gone. Oh, yeah, your quarterback, Jaden Daniels, gone. Brian Thomas, who I think is going to be a stud, Rick, with Jacksonville, gone. And I get it. You can say, oh, Caleb Williams isn't there. Whatever, bro. Moss threw 6 touchdown passes. Quarterbacks are replaceable in Lincoln Riley's system. And I think people are sleeping on Zachariah Branch. And I know you know him, Rick. Yet even Riley told him, he goes, kid, listen, you're Reggie Bush, but you've got to be more consistent and take this to a next level and be more of an all-around football player besides just sort of a big play guy. And they say he sort of embraced this right now. I can't wait to see this USC offense on Sunday night against LSU. This game's going to be a track meet, Rick. There's going to be a lot of points scored. Nussmeier takes over for Daniels. Moss takes over for Caden Williams. I like USC in this game.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I'm Renzi. Shout out to Rick Saratella. Thanks to Rick for joining us on the program, talking about the USC and the LSU game Sunday night in Las Vegas. And, you know, these two teams really are mirror images of each other in a lot of different ways. They both have big-time coaches. that have had a lot of success but haven't won a national championship before, right? Both teams have potent offenses. Both teams have fan bases with extremely high expectations. Both teams are replacing Heisman Trophy winners at the quarterback position. The last two Heisman Trophy, you know, you got Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, who both teams are replacing. There's just, like I said, there's so many similarities between the two of them. And it really is whose defense can step up and make a couple of more plays in this football game. But I've started to talk myself into to the USC Trojans in this game. And remember there about 6 months ago, whatever, there was a lot of talk, oh, Lincoln Riley wanted out of the game last year. He didn't even want to play this game. USC are scared. I don't think USC are scared. I think USC are pretty confident actually coming into this game. I think LSU were confident, but the fact is, it's in Las Vegas, so it's not a home game for USC. We can call it a neutral site game. It's more of a home game for USC. Let's call it out for what it is, right? Like 50% of the people on the strip on a Saturday night are from California. So, like, the USC fans, you know, I mean, like Vegas, LA, like there's going to be a ton of them. LSU fans travel well, so I'm not disputing that. But even from the travel perspective, it's a road game for LSU. The LA to Vegas is not really a road game for the USC Trojans as much. So it's a West Coast game. I bring this up because the last time that LSU played on the West Coast, they lost, right? This was three seasons ago in the opener. They opened up the season against UCLA at the Rose Bowl, and there were a ton of LSU fans. There were more like LSU fans than UCLA fans at that game, and they lost that game. So it's not easy to travel, go west. You're playing a team from the West Coast in the USC Trojans. And now we get into the quarterback situation. You got Nussmeier. Like I said, there's so many similarities between the two of them. LSU always have stud wide receivers. Branch is a freaking stud on the USC Trojans. The Trojans are thin on offensive line. They've got a good offensive line, but if somebody goes down in this game, which is inevitable, I was reading that basically they're basically like five deep. Like if somebody goes down, they're going to have guys that haven't really started before and they have a lot of inexperience after their five guys type of deal. So depth is a little bit of an issue on the old line. Defensively, I do expect USC to be a little bit better, but this game's still going to be a track meet. And up to 64.5 right now. They don't have player props up yet, but this is going to be a football game where we're definitely going to be looking at quarterback touchdown passes, right? Moss threw for six in the Holiday Bowl, and I'm not saying he's going to throw for six against LSU, but he's going to throw for like three or four, and I would expect Nussmeier is going to pick them apart as well. Like I said, this game really should be a track meet. Who has the ball last? Should be noted, the LSU Tigers have lost four straight season openers. Pretty crazy for a powerhouse program like LSU. But to their defense, they don't play cupcakes to start the season like some teams. So the last 2 years, Florida State beat LSU. And if you recall, one of the games was in New Orleans, so it was kind of a home game for LSU. And what was, they missed the extra point after. They would have tied the game and they missed the extra point. And they lost by one. And then last year was like, oh, we're going to get them this time. And don't forget, LSU had Jaden Daniels. We're going to get them this time. And they played in Orlando, sort of in like a neutral field, but in Florida State's turf. And Florida State won again, right? I brought up the UCLA game 3 years ago. They lost that game in Los Angeles. LSU did, and the year before that, they lost against Mississippi State. They got upset in a conference game in the first game of the year. So the LSU have lost four straight season openers. Kelly is getting defensive about it because people are like really asking him. And LSU do have some players that are back from the last two losses. He said, "I've got guys with scars to prove from those two losses." All right, but should be a really fun football game though Sunday night. Like I said, national television. We're going to be there. I'm going to be on a USC Trojan plus the points. I really like USC's team total. It's 29.5. And like I said, if you're betting any of the overs in this game, get in on it because they're only going up, right? I mean, USC's team total was 27.5 at 1 point. It's 29.5 right now. And what I like about that is it wouldn't shock me if USC lost by 5 or they lost by 7, if they lost 37-30 or something like that, or a little even higher scoring, you know, 45-35, wouldn't shock me. So, you know, the game, I think the game's going to go over, and I do believe that the team totals are a good play. Like, if you like USC, like the team total, I'll play USC. I'll sprinkle on the money line a bit, but I'm going to attack the USC team total more than anything. One interesting story I saw today, too, I wanted to get to. We've talked about this in the past, and remember years ago, I talked about Grand Canyon, the university, Grand Canyon, the Lopes. And I thought they were brand new. And I said, you know what? I said, hey, you know what, guys? And there's this new school. They're just opening up right now, and it's the first school ever to admit they're there to make money. They're publicly traded on the stock market, and it's a bunch of hedge fund New York guys that have a Christian online university, but they built a little bit of a campus and stuff as well. And now we see, you know, the Lopes are in the NCAA tournament. Their stock is like, it's through the roof. Their stock's like $135 a share. I told people about this when it was like, you know, $8 when it started. And we've said criminally and tragically a couple of times over the years, what if we would have like just taken all the money that we've bet and just bought all their stock all the time? How rich would we be? So I sort of suggest this. We'll hit this on the other side. But as much as we bet, a lot of these sports books right now are publicly traded as well. And it doesn't mean that, you know, you invest in all of them blindly. And it sort of goes up and down a bit. But I came across an interesting story today in a business section about a sports book that is supposedly a hot buy.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's roll. We're to the home stretch right now. So as I was saying, if you're just joining us right now, I was talking about investing in sports books and betting stock. And especially if you're betting at the sports book that you're investing in, you know, either way, you really can't lose, right? Like, if you, you know, you're betting, you could bet at the book and win money. And doesn't mean the stock, you're not going to crush their stock price. And you can make money off their stock. And if you bet with them and you had a bad year, you can say, well, at least I made money off the stock. I'm betting at my own book, so to speak. I actually own it. You're sort of a co-owner in a way. And basically, you know, it's sort of been broken down right now into, like, the sports book craze and the legalization of sports betting was a lot like the legalization of marijuana in the sense where, you know, you had all these people that really had no background in it and or interest in it before, but they saw it as like a free cash cow. And we've seen, right? You know, I mean, in some places there was, you know, $30 and $40 and $25 and stuff. And anybody that follows this stuff, you guys see on a daily basis, man, like even big time books like shut down in these states. Yeah, we're no longer operating in these states anymore. And there's just, you know, there's only so many people going to bet. It is a massive industry, but a couple of books have sort of, you know, DraftKings and FanDuel have like basically taken over the American market for the most part. They own 70% share of, you know, of all bets in America. MGM is the third one, and they have like a different approach than FanDuel and DraftKings. But, you know, MGM's like a huge conglomerate. Like, you know, FanDuel and DraftKings, they're only taking, you know, betting is their thing, right? The DFS and the betting or whatever, right? So they're, MGM's got, yeah, a million different other things going on, but MGM is sort of, you know, solid and it's kind of happy where they are. With, you know, they've got a loyal customer base, etc. But an MGM stock. But the thing is, when you bet on them, you buy MGM stock. You're buying the stock in the entire strip and their every business decision that they make. But long story short, here, DraftKings stock right now is $35 a share, and anyone that knows business, and I don't pretend to be a business expert, but I know enough to know that, like, in stuff like this, like, you got to lose money, like, for a long time before you make money, right? Like, you know, like Uber and these new companies that come in, they lose money, but it's the big picture. And even though they're losing money, it's all about, yeah, what's the company worth? What's the valuation of the company? Even if we're losing money, it doesn't mean that somebody wouldn't buy it for a ton of money from us. So it's all about the valuation of it. But DraftKings just turned a profit for the first time, which is saying something, right? Like you see, you read the quarterlies of a lot of these people and you wonder, how the hell are you not making money? You're a gambling company. But you'd be surprised. They find ways to screw it up. And so think of, like, you know, when I was in New York, man, like every second billboard, man, on the side of buses, right? It was like a war, DraftKings and FanDuel, right? And it's all, and they were, it cost like billions of dollars. It added up, all the ads and bonuses that they gave people and stuff to get customers. And then, you know, it's about customer retention after. And so you lose money, and then in the big picture, you make money in the long run, right? That's the way they look at it. So anyway, DraftKings has turned a profit from the business side of things. And Wall Street analysts, with the NFL season coming up, they're one of the partners that they're going to get a spike here. And their stock could go up to like $50. It's $35 right now. So as I stated, you know, if you're betting, why not invest in some sports betting stock as well? So, you know, like I said, in a way, you're betting at a book that you technically own a little piece of. You really can't lose either way. And even better is if you win when you're betting, and you know, the shares go up as well. And they will in the long run, right? They will in the long run. DraftKings and FanDuel have won the war. MGM, like I said, is a huge conglomerate that has their operation going. And, you know, you see a lot of the other ones just sort of falling by the wayside right now. Except Stevens in Circa in Vegas, which that's like, that's an empire in its own right. And a sports bettor's paradise. Listen, the Superbook's awesome. Like, the Superbook is technically still the world's biggest sports book. It's massive. You walk in, if you've never been there before, you're like, holy, like, whoa, this is cool. It is really cool, and it's got that old tradition. But Circa, with the outdoor stadium stuff, and the indoor book is massive and classy as hell and stuff. Like I said, if you're a sports bettor and you haven't been down there on Fremont Street over to Circa, you should definitely check it out. We're going to be there this weekend, actually, getting into these contests. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.